What's gone was never forgotten. Not really. Some things were best buried, ignored, set aside in some dark corner of the mind. These sharp things should be bundled carefully in the cushion of ragged memory and tucked away for some later date, like leftovers in a refrigerator. Petra D. told herself that this was for the best. She had far more immediate matters on her mind, starting with trying not to throw up, again. She stared up at the dark ceiling of the hospital room, trying to breathe deeply and force the bile back down. A dim light emanated from the open bathroom door at her left, illuminating her feet encased in plastic massage booties to increase the blood circulation in her feet. Right now, the sensation was making her seasick, adding to her nausea. She lurched forward to pull them off, and her stomach sloshed. She reached for the plug of her IV pole and yanked it out of the wall, even as bile burned up her esophagus. She snatched the pole and dragged it to the bathroom, one hand over her mouth. She made it in enough time. Almost. Yellow fluid leaked between her fingers before she let go, retching into the toilet bowl. Good thing she'd left on the bathroom light. Not that she had much choice. She was either hurling or shitting every hour on the hour for the last 3 days. Chemo was a bitch. With her clean hand, she grabbed what was left of her hair to keep it out of the way. Some of it still stuck to her cheek as she threw up. When her stomach quieted, she flushed the toilet and washed her hands, mindful to keep her right arm, the one with the IV attached, lower than her heart so it didn't start beeping and summoning the nursing staff. As bad as she felt, she was determined not to have some poor patient assistant come running to wipe her extremely sore ass or ask her if she needed anything, like more ice chips. She sure as hell needed things, but ice chips weren't one of them. She needed sleep. She needed chemo to be over. Petra splashed some water on her face and reached for her toothbrush. She was almost out of toothpaste. She'd have to ask the nurse for more the next time she checked on her, which was pretty much every 2 hours. That and toilet paper and... She glanced around the little tiled bathroom. Maybe more washcloths. One could never have too many washcloths. She wrapped her fingers around the IV pole and walked it back to her bedside, hating how much she needed to lean on it. She plugged it back in, then climbed back into bed before pulling the cotton blanket up to her neck. Her fingers chewed on the hem of it. Outside, a soft spring rain pattered against the window. The silhouettes of tree branches moved in the parking lot light, their new green leaves twitching in the rain. Petra hadn't been outside in weeks. It seemed like the season had changed without her even knowing it. The world outside her little white room prying off winter's last hold, and spring finally settling in. It wasn't just the weather, though. Everything in the world was moving beyond this still capsule of her corner room. This late at night, after shift change and before the phlebotomist came in to take her blood at 4 a.m., strange things invariably happened. Fights, fires sometimes in the utility room. There was an old man in the next room who everyone was waiting on to die, but the Reaper hadn't come to collect him just yet. Instead, it was a constant litany of sobbing and shrieking through the walls, some of it from his relatives, but just as much from him. He was a pitch-perfect asshole to the staff during the day, but at night, the fear set in. He'd cry, he'd howl. Last night, he'd gone off the rails, or over the rails of his bed, as it were, and security had to tie him down. He was fighting death, but it was going to come for him anyway. Just like it felt as if death was coming for her. Petra cringed in her bed, staring at her closed door. She had never felt this afraid before. And she'd had a lot to fear since she'd come to the tiny town of Temperance, Wyoming, 9 months ago. She'd been held prisoner by a drug-dealing alchemist. She'd fought a basilisk and the gang of biker women who worshipped it as a goddess. She'd battled a 150-year-old ghost bent on wiping out Yellowstone's wolves. And the undead.